Filthy Henry case files. The Scarred Bones, Part 3. In the cold, hard light of day, the interior of the museum did not look any better to Filthy Henry. It may have had something to do with the fact the sunlight filtered through windows with UV screens on them, no doubt to protect the exhibits from being damaged by the harmful rays of vitamin D. Then again, there were the dreadful, energy-deficient tube lights glowing down from the upper rafters, giving the building that whole hospital ward illumination effect. Regardless of the lighting, the fairy detective found he was equally as uncomfortable standing around the tiny stuffed animals in daytime as he had been the previous night. "Seriously," he said to Shelley in a low voice, so as not to draw the attention of Vincent. "People come here to look at dead things for educational purposes. Would it not be better to just find some roadkill and study that?" Shelley looked like she was going to throw up in her mouth. "What?" she hissed at him. "Why would somebody find a dead animal on the side of the road educational?" Filthy Henry shrugged his shoulders. "I don't know. You could figure out how it wound up with a mild case of deadness. And then, you know, avoid making the same mistake." Shelley stared in disbelief at Filthy Henry. The fairy detective grinned at her and then turned his attention back to the Sasquatch display. The head curator had erected a large privacy screen around the display case, covering it from all sides, and even placing a roof over it so nobody in the upper gallery might get a sneak peek at the freak show on offer. Reluctantly, Mr. Farrell had agreed to allow Filthy Henry and Shelley into the screened-off area. "I really don't see what good it will do," Vincent had said, making sure no one was looking in their direction while holding back the curtain so they could slip inside. "You did absolutely nothing last night, and I had to get the badger cleaned up before the doors opened this morning. I don't think the imaginary hordes banging down your door really cared about the state of the badger," Filthy Henry had said, slipping under the curtain into the sectioned-off area. Vincent was suitably perturbed by the statement and marched off, leaving them alone for the better part of an hour with the giant skeleton. "I think you might have hurt his feelings," Shelley said, stepping close to the glass and peering up at the large skull. "Whose feelings? Vincent, the lover of dead things? You can't hurt the feelings of people like him. They have none." "Like you," Shelley said. Filthy Henry could see her smile in the reflection on the glass. He decided to be the bigger detective and not fire back a scathing insult. They had bigger, quite literally, things to deal with. Switching to his fairy vision, Filthy Henry mentally cranked it all the way up for maximum magical spectrum exposure. With the blue tint of the world letting him know anything and everything magical would be seen, the fairy detective began examining the Sasquatch skeleton in great detail. Beside the display case, Filthy Henry could see the faint outline of magical energies coming from Shelley, an indication that his sight was indeed enhanced. But after slowly panning up and down the entire display case twice, he saw nothing magical or special about the skeleton. "I just don't get it," Filthy Henry said, turning off the magical second sight with a mental flip of the switch. "Last night something definitely happened here. We all saw it. And yet now there's no indication at all that it did." Shelley, still looking at the skeleton, sighed. "Maybe it isn't something that's here now, but rather something that was here last night. I don't follow. Nothing came in after us last night. And despite Vincent trying to convince me otherwise, this museum is as devoid of patrons now as it was then. There isn't anything here." Shelley stood up straight and started pacing back and forth between the display case and the privacy screen. She started tapping her pen against her bottom lip, the go-to thinking move regularly employed. Filthy Henry felt like he was watching a very slow tennis match as Shelley walked to and fro. "So you ruled out there being anything magical in here at all," Shelley said, pointing at him on one of her laps back to the case. "Aside from the magical ability to suck all joy out of life, correct. There's nothing magical here." But we all saw that green mist jump from the ferret to the badger, she continued with her ruminations.
Right, even Vincent saw that, indicating it was something his mind couldn't logically explain away.
But it only happened at a specific point during our visit here. There was nothing suspicious when we arrived. And it ended suddenly as well. The fairy detective just nodded, staring up at the Sasquatch skeleton. Nothing about the displayed figure gave any hint
as to what about it might be causing the disturbances,
or why they only seemed to happen at night. Filthy Henry was not going to entertain the notion that the skeleton was, in actual fact, a genuine Sasquatch, because then it would shake his entire worldview to his very core. Living in a place with magical creatures, spells and fairies, was enough for any person to deal with on a daily basis. Throw in cryptozoology, and you just had the makings of a perpetual migraine that you had to try and navigate. Shelley ceased her pacing. She turned and faced the privacy screen on her left, then looked up to where it met the roof of the privacy area. Filthy Henry watched her for a second, before also shifting his gaze upwards, to try and figure out what it was that had grabbed her attention. Unlike the fairy detective, Shelley had a habit of forming her thoughts inside her mind before announcing them to the world out loud, almost like she had a pathological condition that prevented her from telling others how smart she was in comparison to them. Just like the faux Sasquatch skeleton beside them, there was nothing about the privacy screen that indicated it was involved in any way with the animated animals of death and stuffing. In fact, the only thing worth remarking on about the screens was that light shone through a small gap in the material.
The window,
Filthy Henry said, right as Shelley turned to face him. The window, she repeated, nodding. Last night, the moonlight shone through the window.
And the animals started moving about.
By something that could possess them, Shelley said, pointing over at the display case.
Which means that isn't a Sasquatch skeleton at all,
Filthy Henry said, looking at the large skull's empty eye sockets. Shelley nodded again.
That's a fairy. I really don't understand what you're trying to tell me, Vincent Farrell said as Shelley and Filthy Henry stepped in through the door of the museum and left the cold nighttime of Dublin City outside. Why would I have paid so much money for a Sasquatch that isn't a Sasquatch? We had the bones carbon dated and everything. They're real bones, not some carbon fakery.
Filthy Henry walked past the head curator and straight down the dimly lit aisles, striding with purpose towards the large display case in the back. Shelley, on the other hand, remembered her manners in the fairy detectives as well.
Mr. Farrell, as I was saying, we believe that what you have is a genuine skeleton of a large creature. Just, it isn't a Sasquatch, she said.
He fell into step beside Shelley as she followed after Filthy Henry. The fairy detective had disappeared from sight up ahead, no doubt having slipped behind the privacy screen.
But your associate said mere moments ago it was a fairy skeleton, Vincent said, gesturing in the general direction of the Sasquatch display.
Right, Shelley said.
Which is preposterous, the head curator whined.
Why is that exactly? Shelley asked, looking at Vincent in confusion.
Because fairies don't exist, he replied.
A rustle of cloth up ahead caught their attention, right as Filthy Henry's head appeared from the screen.
Hold on. But a giant humanoid ape-like creature is perfectly logical in your scientific world, the fairy detective asked. Of course it is, Vincent said, pointing at the screen. Because behind that is proof that I'm right. You can't expect me to believe that giant skeleton's actually something tiny, with little rainbow wings that grants wishes and exchanges teeth for coins.
I think you're mixing up about three different races there, Shelley said.
At least, Filthy Henry added, stepping through the gap in the screen and gripping it tightly on the right-hand side.
He started to pull the screen back from the display case.
But no, in this case, we're using the word fairy as a collective umbrella term that captures all the races beneath it.
Vincent stopped walking and genuinely dropped his jaw while staring at the pair of them in utter shock.
Are you honestly trying to tell me you believe in fairies? He asked.
Shelley frowned.
You hired us, Mr. Farrell. The title on one of our doors literally reads, Fairy Detective, she said. Plus there's this, Filthy Henry chimed in, holding out his hand.
Without saying a word, the fairy detective conjured a small fireball that floated 3 inches above his palm. He moved his hand underneath the burning sphere, causing it to shift about in the air, before closing his fingers and extinguishing the fireball in a puff of blue smoke. The head curator's eyes opened so wide, Shelley could almost see into his skull. He turned ever so slightly to stare at Shelley.
Can you do that as well?
He asked, a slight quiver in his voice. Shelley slowly shook her head.
No, well, not as easily, she said. Now, shall we continue?
Vincent nodded, then walked down to stand beside Filthy Henry. He looked over at the display case, staring up at the large skeleton contained within, and let out a long sigh.
So you're telling me I didn't pay for a genuine Sasquatch skeleton? He asked. That I've been conned. My life's work's going to amount to nothing.
Filthy Henry knelt in front of the display case and pulled a silver saucer out of one coat pocket and a bottle of water from another. He placed the saucer down on the ground and poured out some water from the bottle into it. When the saucer was nearly overflowing, he stopped pouring and waved his hands over the water.
Glynna for Vedacon, sir, the fairy detective said,
sending out little wisps of blue magic from his fingertips. The magic drifted down towards the water and landed gently on the surface, without causing a single ripple to form. From within the water a gentle light formed, sending out a pulse of energy that bounced back and forth within the confines of the saucer.
What's that? Vincent asked,
looking down at the fairy detective's preparations.
We have this theory that the moonlight's what's triggering the ghost problem, Filthy Henry explained, standing up straight. What we're going to do is use moonlight from the window above and amplify it with that saucer of water. Think of it like a kid playing with ants on a sunny day.
You're going to destroy my Sasquatch? Vincent asked, sounding equal parts offended and shocked. Shelley stepped closer to them and placed a reassuring hand on his shoulder.
No, not at all, she said. We're going to try and wake it up.
Filthy Henry had once explained to Shelley that a lot of the magic used to solve cases was exactly like maths. There were lots of theories and a few formulas you had to know off by heart. But at the end of the day, all that mattered was if you could prove your theory. Most of the time, when the fairy detective solved a case, he was doing the magical maths that just happened to work out in the end of it all. Not that he would ever tell Shelley this piece of information. She knew that sometimes his plans were more hopes and dreams than concrete schemes. But the last thing he wanted her thinking was that all of his plans were built on luck. The theory they were currently operating under was that moonlight, in particular the light from an Irish moon, was somehow empowering whatever the giant skeleton actually was. While there was no magic drifting around the air inside the museum, that was because the building was so boring, no fairy folk darkened its doors. But when you walked around the city, you could see faint specks of magic floating around in the air like dust. So, when the moon shone through the window, it carried some of that magical energy along on the light and gave whatever the skeleton was a spark of magic. Just as long as the moonlight continued to shine on the skeleton. That was the bit Shelley had figured out when they had jointly concluded that moonlight was involved. As soon as a cloud moved in front of the moon, blocking the light from shining through the window, the stuffed animals went back to being just stuffed. Filthy Henry had heard about things like this happening before. The spirit of a powerful fairy creature being contained within their corporeal form. It was why the fairy folk were so careful to never let their hair cuttings or toenail clippings get in the hands of the wrong person. Powerful binding magic could be performed if a nasty fairy got their hands on that stuff. Which was why there were no such things as fairy graveyards. Graveyards were a very mortal invention, one that the fairy folk could never truly wrap their head around. The thought of not only leaving your body in a public place for anyone to find it, but also to leave a stone marker above it to help identify your corpse, that was just foolish behaviour. Looking behind and upwards to the small windows, Filthy Henry judged they had a few more minutes before the moon appeared over the rooftop of the building next door.
Vincent! Might make more sense for you to be outside, old chap, while we do this.
Before the man could start to argue, Shelley cupped his right elbow and escorted Vincent down and out of the building. She closed the large door behind him and locked it. the ancient tumblers echoed loudly in the stillness of the museum. "Ready?" Shelley asked, staying down at the front door.
"I think so,"
Filthy Henry said, jogging down to join her. They both stared at the saucer beside the display case. It reminded Filthy Henry of a scene from a movie about large reptiles and a millionaire with too much money.
"And you're going to talk, right?" Shelley asked him, her voice barely above a whisper. "Yep. The moonlight should be amplified enough that the spirit will be able to animate its own body. We'll have a lovely chat."
"And no fireballs?"
"Nope, not a fireball in sight."
"And property damage limited to a minimum, right?"
Filthy Henry looked at Shelley affronted.
"When have I ever damaged property?"
"Well, the office building, for example," Shelley began.
"Hold on a second there. That was blown up by somebody who was attacking us. I didn't do that. But no, the answer is no. I won't do any wanton destruction beyond the required amount to keep myself alive."
Shelley thought about the statement for a moment.
"You mean beyond keeping us alive," she said.
"Oh, now you want property damage when it suits you," he said, rolling his eyes. "Talk about double standards. Now, shh, looks like the show's about to start."
Shelley knew how the next few minutes were going to play out before anything even started. Her first move was to switch on her fairy vision, the world taking on a slightly blue hue as the magical spectrum kicked in. A quick glance to her left showed her that Filthy Henry had also mentally activated his magical sight. It was usually beneficial to be able to see the magical world when you were going to spend the next few minutes avoiding death and destruction, potentially. Filthy Henry tapped her on the shoulder and pointed towards a display case off to her right, while then nodding towards one on the left. It was a novelty that they had places to hide before the big bad showed up and tried to kill them. That was assuming the giant skeleton did go on a murderous rampage right out of the gate. For all they knew, it would be a polite, friendly spirit that occupied the skeleton, and they could just all talk about it. Then again, the badger had tried to basically smash through the glass last night, so chances could be very high that the giant skeleton did actually want to flatten some detectives into detective pancakes. A hiding spot was probably a good idea. Shelley quickly walked over to the suggested display case, while Filthy Henry ran over to his. They both peered through the glass and looked down at the saucer of water. A blue light came through the window on the second floor, slowly moving across the tiles towards the dish in front of the skeleton case. Shelley could feel her heart pounding ever so slightly from excitement. That was part of the problem working magical cases. No two were the same, and for her, everything was new. Filthy Henry had become numb to the wonders of the magical world, mainly because he was over 100 years old, and also a grumpy sod when all was said and done. Like a terrifying timepiece, the shaft of light crept closer to the saucer. As it touched the edge, the water inside began to glow brightly, intensifying with each second, almost like the water was sucking up the light from the moon and amplifying it. Within 10 seconds, the saucer of water was like a tiny pitch floodlight, beaming upwards and causing the skeleton in the case to take on eerie shadows that made it all the scarier to look at. A green light sparked into life in each eye socket, swirling around like smoke before settling in a sphere shape. The skull moved, looked down at the body before the skeleton made a fist and brought it up before smashing it through the glass. Shards flew forth, looking like deadly snow as they passed through the artificial moonlight. The giant stepped out of the display case and looked around, patting its rib cages as if looking for its keys. It reached back into the case and pulled out the fake branch which had been part of the diorama.
"This can't be good," Shelley whispered over to Filthy Henry. "He might be just using it as a walking stick," the fairy detective hissed back.
The skull snapped in their direction, the green spheres glowing in the sockets as they scanned the museum. It had clearly heard them. Slowly and ominously, the giant shifted its stance so that it stood at the top of the aisle, like some hideous demon protecting a treasure of the gods. Its large bony fingers gripped the plastic tree trunk so tightly that Shelley could see the material warping in the creature's grip. Looking down behind the wooden base of the display case, Shelley waved over at Filthy Henry to get his attention. He saw her from the corner of his eye, slouching down himself and looking over at her.
"What's the plan now?" Shelley whispered as loudly as she dared.
The fairy detective looked at her blankly and shrugged his shoulders.
"Are you serious?" she hissed at him.
Back out on the floor, there was the unmistakable sound of a giant footstep being placed on the ground. There was a noise that reminded Shelley of a xylophone for some strange reason, although a xylophone with an abundance of calcium. A slowly drawn-out sound that, in the stillness of the museum, was all the more terrifying. She carefully shifted upwards to look through the glass of the display case and saw the giant skeleton lowering down to get a better look at the ground level. It was not only aware they were in the building, but it was also actively looking for them. She slouched back down and looked over at Filthy Henry, waiting for him to announce what the brilliant part of his plan was going to be. The fairy detective looked at her, then slowly shifted position and stood up straight.
"I'm gonna try and win it over with my charms," he whispered at her, smiling.
Shelley quickly started to shake her head in the negative.
I think that's a really bad idea," she hissed at him,
as he stepped out from behind his hiding spot.
"Like, a really terrible, truly awful idea."
Thankfully, Filthy Henry had enough awareness not to ask what was the worst that could happen, but his body language said it all. Shelley started looking around for a safer place to hide before things in the museum started to get smashed apart by an angry, undead giant.
Filthy Henry, the Scarred Bones, is an original story by Derek Power and Niall Milton. Other works by Derek Power are available to buy right now on Amazon Kindle. Part 4 of this story is available imminently. If this story scratched any sort of itch at all for you, why not go and check out other episodes from our podcast? Please be sure to like or subscribe or share. And as always, thanks for listening.